Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have two guests. I have Burke Holland, who is a developer evangelist for Kendo UI for Telerik, and Todd Anglin, vice president of HTML5 web and mobile tools for Telerik. Gentlemen, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for having us on today.
Great. Thank you, Jesse.
Really happy to have both of you here. I'm hoping that we'll be able to talk some about HTML5 in general and specifically about the Kendo UI tools. Burke, I guess if you could start us off by just giving me an overview of what's involved in the Kendo UI tool.
Sure. So Kendo UI is a brand new product, actually. We just launched at December 1st of last year. And it's an HTML5 framework built on the jQuery core library. And it is a UI library, so it contains things like tree views and grids and autocompletes and all the things that you would expect to see in a rich Ajax UI. It also contains data visualization components, so charting, line charts, pie charts, things like that. And then it contains a mobile tool set as well, which we're actually 24th of this month, we'll have a beta release. And that will be tools for building kind of native HTML5 applications and stuff that you can phone gap down. But the really interesting thing about the mobile tools is that they look like iOS on iOS and they look like Android on Android. And so it's kind of that idea of being able to design your mobile application once and then target two separate platforms with it and get that native look and feel.
Yeah, I mean, I would just pick up on what Burke said there and extend it and say Kendo UI really is about providing the developer who's working with HTML5 and JavaScript everything they need to build apps or mobile apps and sites using the core technologies of HTML5 and JavaScript. So it provides across three different sets of tools today, Kendo UI Web for the traditional web interface that's touch-enabled if it needs to be, but also very comfortable with the keyboard and the mouse. Data Viz that works without plugins, so on tablets and devices and on desktop computers. And then mobile is a third essential component of that, which we're going to be introducing here very early this year. So it's both about traditional web interfaces, we might call them, websites, and it's also about providing the new modern HTML5-powered mobile app, which we see a lot of business moving towards here in 2012.
Right. And if I just kind of to add on to a little bit of that as well, I think that one of the distinguishing things about Kendo UI is that it is HTML5. And so while it's powered by the jQuery core, which makes the syntax very familiar for developers, it is targeting things like it's using things like SVG and CSS3. Everything is optimized for HTML5 so that things that behave well in the browser also behave well on the mobile browser. They're just because there's a lot to take into account when dealing with animations and things like that. And so Kendo UI is kind of designed from the ground up to work with mobile and with web. For instance, we listen for touch events and as well as click events, just in case you happen to be using the widget on a touch device instead of somebody browsing it via a web browser.
So let me ask you, which of these two is potentially your target audience? One is somebody who is relatively new to web programming or has not been at it for a while, so hasn't really looked at HTML5, and they're thinking, gee, maybe this is a good way that I don't have to immerse myself in HTML5 obscurity and CSS, and I can just use your library. That's target one. Target two is somebody who is an HTML5 programmer, is a jQuery programmer, and wants to build applications using a framework to make their life a little bit easier. Which of those should I be thinking for your app?
Yes, both. I think it extends on Telerik's approach just in general, how we built tools in the past for other audiences, that we've always aimed to provide tools that are easy to get started with. If your goal is just to save yourself time so you don't have to understand the inner workings, then that's absolutely what these tools can provide for you. Simple, fluent API. If you want a rich data grid that's powered by JavaScript and has filtering, sorting, you have basically two lines of code and you have all that functionality done for you. Pixel perfect, no CSS to worry about, none of those other hassles you've described. But if you're the advanced developer who wants to take a starting point that you then have all the hooks you need to customize and hook into different kind of data sources and all the things that you want because you want control, Kendo UI provides all those necessary hooks to do that as well. So it really serves both audiences well.
Now, with the novice audience, let's talk about that for a moment. You're saying that a novice web programmer could take the Kendo UI, learn that framework, and not need to understand the CSS and the JavaScript and the jQuery and the HTML5, but stay fully within the framework and build applications?
Well, I would say that the novice developer, you know, one of the great things about jQuery was that all of a sudden JavaScript became accessible, like everybody could do it, including me. That's how I really got into JavaScript development. And so for the novice developer, and I know myself, I came up like a lot of people do, where I started doing, I think I was doing VB6 back in the day. And so the concept of dragging a button out and double clicking that button and then having an event in the client side in ASP.NET web forms was a connection I could make that made a lot of sense to me. And then as I started building more and more applications, I kind of became a little bit, I found myself more and more in the JavaScript trying to do things with grids and make things draggable and droppable and alerts and things like that. So I think for the novice developer that's coming in that kind of can understand that server-side approach, that the Kendo UI does abstract away a lot of that, but it does require you to be in the JavaScript. Fortunately, it's built on jQuery, so the syntax should be super familiar, and the configuration is really low. So as Todd said, you can have, basically you have an empty div, and you can select that div with a jQuery selector and call the Kendo tree view, and you have a tree view.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a certain amount of fundamental jQuery knowledge that we can't abstract away. That's sort of the 101 that we think if you learn that very smallest subset of how do I just get started with jQuery, then Kendo UI can take you light years beyond that without needing to learn all the things you need to learn to be an advanced developer. So what Kendo UI can do is make the novice perform like an advanced developer. They do need to understand the 101, and we have a lot of resources that we're building up on KendoUI.com and through other partners that we're providing references to help with that 101. But then Kendo UI really helps them go a lot further, a lot faster.
Okay, so just to be practical for a moment, as I understand it, there are three options for licensing. There is an open source license if you're working on an open source project. There is a commercial license, which is essentially a subscription. And then there's a free trial that does not provide you the source code. Is that free trial, is that a good way for people to get started with this, or do you really need the commercial license in order to be fully productive?
Well, the free trial is really the perfect way. And what the free trial essentially does, because Kendo UI is what we call dual license, which means you can use Kendo UI under either a commercial license, which is usually compatible with a lot of different kind of proprietary projects, or you can use it under an open source GPL v3 license, which is a license which for us is kind of embraces the kind of open source projects we intend to support with the Kendo UI open source license, sometimes often referred to as copyleft. And so if your project is compatible with GPL, then that's what that license is for. The trial is your gateway into the commercial license. We don't want you to give us money until you're sure that Kendo UI is a set of tools that's going to help you build better software. We want the tools to prove their value to you, and the paying for the commercial license is there so that you get access to all the updates as we make them available, so that you get access to our professional support teams, so that if you have questions, we're here all the time to help you answer those questions. That's where the commercial license takes you, but the trial is absolutely a perfect gateway to that. So if somebody is listening today and they want to get started, I would absolutely suggest the trial is a good place to start.
And what's the learning curve like? What kind of time should someone expect in terms of coming up to speed and really getting a feel for what this can do?
I think that if you're familiar with jQuery and you've used other UI libraries before, then it's going to be extremely familiar. If you're kind of used to that whole drag and dropping and having a canvas, then there's a little bit of a curve in kind of just learning, just being comfortable and getting down into the JavaScript. But in and of itself, you know, getting up and rolling with Kendo UI is very fast. You essentially include some CSS references and a script reference in the top of your page, and then you just kind of start rolling. And the other thing that we're looking to do is provide examples for people that are doing PHP or Rails or web forms or MVC to have some applications for them to take a look at so that they can kind of copy paste code and get rolling. Because I think that's essentially what we all do, right? We go to a site and see some code that we might want to use, and we essentially copy it and paste it. We just need that to work, so we have some boilerplate to get up and rolling. So we're spending a lot of time and effort making sure that you know, all of these different server technology areas are addressed, because Kendo UI can be used, works great equally with all of them, being specifically a UI framework.
So one could be a web forms programmer or an MVC programmer and use Kendo UI with that application development environment.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, Kendo UI, in addition to being everything that you need for this type of development, it's also for every type of developer, whether you're PHP or Rails, like Burke was saying, or your web forms or MVC on the .NET stack. All of these server end technologies can work perfectly with Kendo UI because it's primarily a front end technology. So whether you're passing data back and forth with JSON web services or you're using any other manner of getting data and configuration into your page, Kendo UI can plug right in there. And we have the ambition later this year. It's not going to be in our next release, but later in 2012, we will be shipping server-side helpers for a lot of these frameworks that Burke described. And that'll go even further into helping the MVC developer, the PHP developer, write in their comfortable server-side language and output sort of the necessary Kendo UI, HTML, and JavaScript. So we're going to be doing even more to make Kendo UI comfortable for all different types of developers working with the technology.
Okay. What's the documentation like for it, and what's the in terms of learning how to become proficient with it?
Burke should be good to talk to this.
Yes, that's a great question, actually. So when we launched on the 1st of December, and the feedback was just overwhelming. We had a ton of interest, and we had trouble accommodating, actually, everybody on our launch webinar just because people were so interested in Kendo UI. And we always encourage people to give us feedback. Telerik has a long history of taking community feedback very seriously, and we implement those things when people ask for them. And one of the things that we heard loud and clear is, your documentation needs help. So we immediately raised the flag on that. And myself and John Bristow, who's another evangelist, and he's actually out in Australia. But he and I have been kind of working on that for the past couple weeks, heads down. And we essentially re-examined every endpoint. We added what I call copy and paste code examples to every single configuration, API method, event, so that when you go in and you're looking for how to use something, the documentation should be very clear, listing all the parameters, all the options. I've been through that documentation from top to bottom, spent a lot of time there.
So at this point, if somebody's not happy with the Kendo UI documentation, holland@telerik.com is right. The feedback endpoint, and he'll be happy to improve it.
Excellent. And while we're giving out addresses, and we'll put this on the page, but it is just Kendo UI, KendoUI.com is the place to go to find out information about it.
Absolutely.
So let me take advantage of your expertise then and ask you to talk with me a bit about HTML5 and help me get my head around what's in HTML5. Because I have to tell you, from the bit that I've looked at it, it feels more like a set of disparate functionality than a completely coherent new version of HTML.
Sure. So, and, you know, and I'll take a first stab at this, and I know Burke will have a lot to add to this as well. But one thing we like to establish up front when we talk HTML5 is that it truly is an umbrella term for, as you've observed, a lot of separate technologies that just all happen to be evolving more or less at the same time. And it's defining for us a new opportunity as developers to take a common skill set, HTML, JavaScript, CSS, and use that skill set to write software that works on an unprecedented cross-platform level. I can write software that with these technologies that we're calling HTML5 that works on my Mac here, works on a PC, and most importantly, and this is really the rocket fuel that was poured on these web technologies, works on devices, works on my iPhone, my Android, my iPad. And that's what HTML5 really is delivering. It's a reignition of a set of technologies that lives everywhere and giving them finally the power they need to be as rich as other platforms we've worked with, like, and I know you're very familiar with Silverlight, a good example of a very powerful, rich platform for Windows, giving us a platform that has similar richness that runs everywhere, and we can take that skill set and build software using tools like Kendo UI. So it is a lot of technologies. It's not one thing, and they're just all evolving very quickly now at the same time.
Yeah, I know when I first started seeing HTML5 being thrown around, it was, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And the first thing I did was, I'm just going to be honest, I went to Google and tried to download HTML5. And of course, you can't do that because HTML5, it's not a thing. It's just kind of an overarching description of an enhancement on technologies that we've been using for a great many years. I was part of a startup like 5 years ago, and we were building this application, and we wanted it to be, it had this rich UI. It had drag and drop in the grid, and it had this crazy photo editor, and it was really hot stuff, but we initially tried to do it with just JavaScript and HTML. And at the time, the big browsers were, of course, IE6, Firefox, Opera, and Safari. And we just couldn't make it work. We spent a lot of time, and eventually we abandoned that and went over to do Adobe Flex development. But in the 5 years since that's happened, so many of the things that were only possible with something like Flex, or excuse me, Flash and Silverlight, are now completely possible in the browser, and browsers have come such a long way. So I think when we talk to people about HTML5, the one thing I want people to know is that you've been doing a lot of this stuff for many, many years. We're just enhancing the way that it's been done and making it better. And then another part of HTML5 is just kind of that whole cross-browser thing. And so we have things like the HTML5 boilerplate or modernizer that kind of help us know what features are available in what browsers so that our application does in fact work with a wide range of browsers. And on that subject, Kindle UI is cross-browser all the way back to IE7. And so it does abstract away quite a bit of that. Is this going to work on a different browser? You know, this kind of this guessing game and having to test everywhere. And so Kindle UI looks to leverage HTML5 to make the applications cross-browser so they do in fact work on all the modern browsers.
And does Kindle UI essentially replace the jQuery UI library?
So that's a fantastic question. We were big fans of the jQuery UI library. I used it for many years back when it was early on. There's some fantastic things that happen over there and a great group of people that work on that. And so what Kindle UI does is that it's kind of the right tool for the job, right? So if you're building a small application, then jQuery UI may be a great solution for you. But as your application gets larger and you need more and more functionality, what you may find yourself doing is bolting on plugins or kind of searching the web for these different plugins. And then sometimes what you end up with is this head of your page that has 10 to 15 plugins in it. And they're all open source and they're all from different places. And, you know, if you're a JavaScript ninja and you can kind of get down into the guts of stuff, you know, that could work out for you. But Kindle UI kind of aims to take what jQuery UI does so well and enhance it enough so that it's really everything that you need to build rich, full enterprise UIs that contain everything that you need.
Yeah, and to just elaborate on that, so there's no confusion, Kindle UI is not based on jQuery. jQuery UI is also based on jQuery. Kindle UI is based on jQuery, but there are some other HTML5 and JavaScript UI frameworks which do, in fact, build on top of jQuery UI and then go further. And what we wanted to be able to do within the Kindle UI vision is bring all the right pieces in one package with the minimum number of external dependencies so that when you actually start building software that you have to maintain and upgrade and evolve over time, it becomes much simpler just to have one library, one version, one source of support to do that. And then you get best of breed tools. And so we focused a lot on performance and optimizing things for the specific UI scenarios that we're aiming at. So we're doing a lot to ensure that not only is Kindle UI the most complete, it's also the most performant, it's also the easiest to upgrade. So it would be for many projects, to your original question, a replacement for jQuery UI where it's appropriate to plug in to the projects that need it.
Okay, let's dive a little bit more deeply into the product. I know this, we're at risk here of sounding like this is a commercial for Kindle UI, but I'm fascinated by what you've done and what you've put together. And in for a penny, in for a pound, let me ask you about it looks like from looking at your site that there are three major components to it: the web, the data visualization, and the mobile. Is that correct? First of all, is that a correct perspective to have on this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about the website first. Is this a set of widgets, a set of controls, or also more than that?
Yes, it is widgets, and it is also a whole lot more than that. And I was actually hoping we could talk a little bit more about that. So there are, let me see, I don't even know how many widgets we have anymore. Todd, do you know off the top of your head?
More than 15, I think, at this point. Certainly it's a rapidly expanding collection. We're not done yet.
It seems to, it's...
But demos.kendallui.com, and everybody can check it out for themselves, because it'll probably be more by the next time somebody listens to this. But it's a good collection of widgets at this point.
Okay.
And it does, so to your question, is it UI widgets? Yes, it definitely is. It is Kindle UI, but it's also a whole lot more than that. So we have this whole framework that kind of sits underneath Kindle UI that we also expose. And one of those things is we have something called a data source, which abstracts away from the developer having to do manual AJAX calls. And so you would create this data source object and kind of put your endpoints in, and then you can bind the widgets to that data source object, and the rest is kind of taken care of for you. We also have a templating solution that we designed to be really, really fast. We did some JS Perf tests, and it's one of the fastest templating engines out there that's baked into Kindle UI. It just comes with it. There's things like validation. So we have a validator. I know that everybody loves to do form validation. That's like every developer's most favorite thing to do. So we're trying to make that as easy as possible.
For our international listeners, that was a bit of sarcasm there.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was always a thing I hated the most about web development. And then we have things like globalization. So taking care of different languages. And then we have other things that are coming in the future. So if you're if you're a true hipster and you've got your hoodie on and you want to hack some JavaScript, we do. We expose things like inheritance. Kendo UI has inheritance. It has... we're looking at baking in some model view, view model type architecture into Kendo UI so that everything is observable. As a Silverlight guy, I know you're familiar with observable collections and things like that. And that's gaining a lot of traction in the JavaScript space. So, it's a whole lot more than, to answer your questions, it's a whole lot more than UI widgets, but it definitely is UI widgets.
Okay. What are the limitations on those widgets?
Well, it kind of depends. So out of the box, they are very full-featured. And the great thing about JavaScript is you can always extend things. Most of the Kendo UI stuff can be extended via simple CSS. So if something doesn't look the way that you want it to, or you want to, reduce the size of something, you can do that with CSS. And on the subject of CSS, we also have a theme builder. So Kendo UI actually has, what does it have, like 5 themes, including a Metro theme, which is super awesome because we love Metro. And you can use the theme builder and actually skin all your controls, and then it will give you either the CSS or the less, so you can actually make it look exactly like you want it to look. As far as extending the controls goes, most of the controls have everything that you would need right out of the box. There isn't a whole lot that you would have to add to them. Just an example is the grid. So the grid has basic grid functionality that you'd expect to see, including things like headers and footers and inline editing, virtualizing of remote data, grouping, paging, sorting. You can do it in the client. You can do it on the server. And they're very robust widgets, not very simple widgets. But the good news is the configuration is simple, but there's a lot of heavy lifting being done.
I wish you were a little more enthusiastic about the product.
I know it.
For the international audience, that's sarcasm.
There you
right.
go.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, your excitement about it is infectious. And let me ask you about the DataViz library. That's in addition to Kendo UI, or that's an integrated part of it?
So they're all under the same umbrella. So Kendo UI is sort of the overarching tool set, and Kendo UI DataViz is a distinctly separate product within that from Kendo UI Web. It does build on the Kendo UI core, but what it provides is charting in the future other types of data visualization built on top of HTML5 technologies, which, as Burke mentioned before, is primarily SVG for modern browsers and mobile browsers. And then to make sure we provide the broadest support possible, we also automatically fall back on a technology called VML. And some of you may remember Vector Markup Language, which you'll find in older versions of IE. So this is how we're able to deliver rich standards-based data viz that works from IE 7 plus, as well as on mobile devices like iPads and iPhones. And you get these nice, richly animated charts. You get these charts that have interactive tooltips and those kinds of things. And in the future, I think, in fact, in the next release, so coming up in just a month or two, we'll be adding to data viz things like gauges, and then beyond that, be adding other types of financial charts and all the kinds of things people expect to find in a complete data viz suite.
But when you say it's a separate product, they're sold as one collective framework. Is that right?
They are separate products and they're sold separately. Today, when you buy Kendo UI Web, it's sort of a limited time introduction, just incentive to get everybody introduced to what we're doing. When you buy Kendo UI Web, we're giving people Kendo UI DataViz as a complimentary license. But in the next release, there will be separate pricing for each. There will be a way people can buy all of them together, but they are, in fact, separate SKUs. So if all you're doing is DataViz, let's say you're a web forms developer and you just want to plug in some awesome interactive HTML5 DataViz, you could just buy DataViz independently if that's what you were after.
I see. And you can buy the web individually and not add DataViz.
Sure.
And you're saying as an introduction, if you buy the web today, you're also getting DataViz, but that's just for one version. When the next version comes out, then you'd be in the same position as everybody else of having two different products to purchase.
Yeah, and you know, we want to make it easy for people to acquire all of Kendo UI, because we think that if you're doing a lot of HTML5 and JavaScript style development, there's always going to be the need to have rich data visualization in your toolbox. So we'll make it easy to acquire all of them, but in the time we're talking right now, so you know, before March of 2012, then these things, when you buy one, you'll get the other. And as we approach March, as we approach the official release of the third part that you mentioned, Kendo UI Mobile, then we'll introduce some other, you know, to talk in the terms that people often hear, other SKUs, other versions. We'll try to keep the SKU matrix as simple as possible to make sure people get the value that they're after.
Okay, let's talk about Kendo UI Mobile for a moment. What is the user experience like with that? Is it opening up an app, or is it first opening up a browser and then navigating to a Kendo UI powered application?
It could actually be both. It's kind of depending on how you want to use it. I think that typically I see people using this as something to build native applications using PhoneGap. If listeners aren't familiar with PhoneGap, it's kind of a way to build HTML5 applications for iOS and then run them natively and take advantage of things that are native to the device, like the camera and contacts and things like that.
And is PhoneGap an open source project?
PhoneGap is an open source project. I think they were recently acquired by Adobe, but it's still an open source. It's a free download. And so you essentially will download this PhoneGap project. And if you're like me and you're doing iOS development, you create a new Xcode project, one of your templates will be a PhoneGap project. And when you create this PhoneGap project, it creates a project and then it has a www folder. And so you put all your HTML, CSS, and JavaScript in that www folder, and you have an application that runs natively. And then you can use JavaScript and make calls to the device to take advantage of native features. And then on top of that, there's this whole like community of people that have built this PhoneGap plugins, which is on GitHub. And I'm not sure, I should look up what the URL is for that, but you can do all sorts of different native interaction with device, things that PhoneGap doesn't natively support. People have actually written plugins to go with that for iOS and Android. Really very, very cool stuff. I think a lot of the native development coming up, we may see more and more HTML5 apps, especially because the browsers on mobile are so good about HTML5, just because they're also so brand new.
Yeah, I think the question you asked is a good opportunity to you know, zoom back out at the higher technology discussion level, not necessarily specific to Kendo UI. And looking at the industry trends that we see evolving, and they've been taking shape over the course of the last year, and we see them solidifying in 2012, is that HTML5 and JavaScript now are really defining themselves as technologies that transcend the browser. And this is going to be a mental shift that a lot of us as developers who've worked with these technologies for essentially 20 years are going to have to start really internalizing. And that is that HTML and JavaScript are UI and sort of UI programming technologies, but they are not necessarily married to a browser. We just are familiar with them because that's the only place we've had to use them for the longest time. But we are now seeing with things like Windows 8 on the horizon and Microsoft reusing HTML and JavaScript as technologies to power so-called native app development for Windows. We're seeing HTML and JavaScript show up in frameworks like PhoneGap, which gives you the ability to create native-style apps, again, using the same familiar technologies. And we're seeing HTML and JavaScript remain perfectly comfortable and increasingly capable in the browsers, so you can continue to write software that is delivered through the browser. So as a technology, it's finding its way beyond the browser, but it's also evolving very powerfully inside the browser too. And Kendo UI can live in both of those places. But if you're just talking at a general technology level, this is what makes HTML5 to me, in fact, so interesting, is that this technology is just spreading everywhere. And you have a real unprecedented alignment of the major tech giants backing this technology. You've got Microsoft, Google, Apple, Amazon, Adobe of all people. All of these tech giants all seem to agree on the HTML5 JavaScript platform, which means there's a lot of people investing very heavily in seeing this technology succeed and continue to improve.